Hey, Mark.
Hey, Katie.
Hey, you want to do a podcast?
Yeah.
Sweet. Okay. Welcome to the Unforget Yourself show, where we use the power of woo and the proof of science to help you identify your blind spots, get over your own bullshit, so that you can do the fucking thing you actually want to do.
Absolutely. I'm Mark.
And I'm Katie.
And we're the founders of Unforget Yourself and the creators of the Unforget Yourself system. Look, being a business owner is tough.
Yeah.
With vulnerability and with humor, mm-hmm. we'll be sharing with you the real stories behind the success of those brave and crazy enough to start their own business. And to show you that you're not alone.
You're not. Well, from the accidental entrepreneur to the laser-focused CEO, we have honest conversations about how they got to where they are today. We talk about the challenges that they faced and what they're currently dealing with in real time on their roller coaster journey. Along the way, we want to show you that it's you. You are the most important asset in your business.
Yeah, you are. So let's cut the bullshit and start the show.
Enjoy. Hey, hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. Today, we have Sarah Wisniewski with us. Sarah is a business coach and mentor to health and well-being professionals. She helps results-driven female coaches to grow the impact of their business by supporting them to scale using group coaching. And she does this by using a multi-platform marketing strategy that maximizes their personality preferences. Welcome, Sarah. It's so good to have you here.
Hi, Katie. Thank you for having me. It's lovely to meet you.
Oh, thank you. So Sarah, could you please expand a bit on that brief introduction I gave of you and tell our audience a bit more about yourself and what you do?
Yeah, of course. So I am a coach helping that very important sector of the coaching world, the health and well-being coaches. And over the years of being a coach, I've realized that there are so many talented coaches that are making massive impacts on people's lives. They're helping them be healthy. They're helping them live longer. I mean, what a gift. Right. They're amazing at that. But the piece where they maybe can't see their way through the noise of the online space is to not quite be able to find a way to connect with the clients that they want to serve without following templates or doing the things that everybody tells them they should do. And as soon as they start doing the should, they lose themselves in it, they're not being themselves, they're not attracting the right people, and they get really disheartened with the entire process. So I want to enable those extremely talented coaches to make that impact they deserve in the world and do it in a way that they can show up as themselves, share their message, and find the perfect clients that they can serve.
Oh my gosh. Okay, this is fantastic because I think I can speak from the experience of a coach having been guided on what to do or told, yes, you follow this way. And it continually lends itself to feeling really crappy. So when you encounter your clients, when you first engage with them, how are do you find that they're disheartened? And then how do you redirect them to actually express themselves in the way that feels good to them?
So they tend to be doing two things. They tend to be trying to do all things. So they're trying to show up and do video, they're trying to be in groups, they're trying to launch a podcast, they're trying to write blogs, they're maintaining a website, they've got an email list, maybe a small one, but they're trying to send those out. They've at some point taken snippets of all of these strategies, and their belief is that to be successful, I should be doing all of these things. So mm-hmm. of course they're spread across lots and lots of different places, but only scratching the surface on any of them. Sometimes they're copying what they do on one platform onto another, which sometimes works, but often it doesn't translate. So they're spreading themselves thin from that perspective. And they're also concentrating on working and serving their client base on a one-to-one basis. So not only are they filling maybe they've blocked out their morning for their marketing activity, so they're doing all the things and then they're having no break and jumping straight on to call after call after call with client, mm-hmm. which is phenomenal that they're managing to maintain that, but they're getting to that point of exhaustion. And right. the dream they had when they left their previous life behind them, just as I did, was mm-hmm. to be able to have more time, to have that time flexible and freedom. And now they're getting to that point of saying, I'm potentially working more hours now than I used to, but where do I go? I have to keep showing up because that's where I'm getting my clients. And then when I get my clients, I have to serve those clients. So they can't see a way out of changing what they're doing and risking taking a step back, losing the income that they're now reliant upon. They might, they may be paying somebody to help them with some of their visibility or their marketing, but they can't see a way to free up that time to have that time with their family or time with their friends and truly enjoy the success that they've rightly deserve.
Right. So ironic that it's in the health and well-being industry that we all tend to work ourselves into a place so often where our health and well-being isn't being considered with the schedule that you just laid out, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's exactly the same in a bricks and mortar business as well. If you're a physical PT where you're showing up and you're PTing your clients all day, you're out first thing, you're PTing first thing in the morning, you're PTing late at night. When do you get the time to do your own? And yet you are your business. And it's no different when anything of that nature is brought online. We should do as we say, but actually there's so many of us, and I will put myself in that camp. There have been times when I'll be supporting clients and thinking, I should probably be listening to some of my own advice here.
Right. It's such an easy trap to fall into. So what do you think is the lie underneath this, or maybe the false belief that your clients have bought into that have led them to the place that they're at?
It's the one that I was totally wedded to, which is the harder I work, the more successful I will become. And I lived and breathed that. And to a point, I'm still working through parts of that myself. Mm-hmm. I never think it's a, well, there we go, I've solved it. There were times when that belief still shows up for me. And I certainly experienced it watching my father in a corporate environment, home late, out early, long, long days. And then once I started in the corporate world, I could very clearly see a direct correlation with the earnings, the seniority, the level of responsibility with the length of time someone was physically in the office.
Right.
They were never the people who grabbed their bags early and went and picked their kids up from school. They weren't the part-timers. They were the people who were still there, you know, last person standing. Yeah. So that belief was very, very ingrained in me. And I believe that it is societally as well. We tell our kids, well, you'll go far if you work hard. You just need to work hard at this thing. Mm-hmm. And they hear it day in and day out. So by bringing that into your business, you believe the reward will come. There'll be some switch that'll suddenly alter where, oh, now I can relax. But actually we create these patterns for ourselves that say, well, to be able to sustain this thing, I need to do these things, A equals B, and unless I do A, then B won't come. Unless I show up consistently and I do all the things, the clients won't come and I'll put myself at risk.
All while exhausting yourself. So how did you get to that point where you realized, okay, the harder I work, it isn't necessarily the more reward I get. I'm exhausted and burned out.
Thankfully, I'm not susceptible to the traditional burnout. Despite all the pressures and all the potential, I have managed to sustain my own level prior to that. For me, the turning point was when we went into lockdown here in the UK for the first time, and the children came home from school overnight. So one day we were in, one day we were out.
Right.
And I had been busy, very busy in my business. I'd been locking myself away with that corporate mentality. I need to do all the things. I need to be doing. Mm-hmm. And yet I wasn't necessarily seeing the reward and the outcome at the other end. But I thought, well, if I keep doing, there'll be a point at which the reward starts to come.
Yeah.
When the children came out of school, they had to be homeschooled. My youngest wasn't able to independently learn at that age. So I had to sit with them. Plus, we all needed some time to be together and understand what was happening in the world generally and just take that kind of reset. Mm-hmm. So all the hours that I had been spending were gone. That was it. Immediately removed. So I had to get very smart with what I did with the time that I could spend on my business. Mm-hmm. And I signed more clients in the first 2 weeks of children being off school than I'd signed for the previous month. Because I was starting to be much more intentional, much more focused, and much more strategic about what I did with my time. I don't know whether this phrase translates, but the phrase that really just to me brings it to it just highlights everything is faffing, to faff about. Mm-hmm. I was the definition of the faffer. I was playing with Canva. I was creating content for the course that no one had signed up for. I was planning things. I was building very complex spreadsheets. I was doing all the busy things behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. But the piece I wasn't doing was being visible, making connections, nurturing relationships, and making offers. And when I realized that all the faffing time was taken away, all I had was this short little bursts of maybe 45 minutes here and there, I had to be intentional about how I used that. And I was. And it made a huge difference. So I was able to sit back and go, okay, the hard work model was wrong work.
Mm-hmm.
Strategic, time with intention, not time under tension, time mm-hmm. with intention is really where that switch needs to be. And I was able from that point on to, yes, fill my time, but fill it with stuff I wanted to do, not fill it with just busyness.
Can you expand on that a bit more on how you were able to decide what actions were the intentional right actions versus what was you faffing about?
It sounds funny when someone else says it.
I know. Well, it's my accent. It sounds weird.
I think I had to take the emotional step back and look at my business as a, like an external consultant would have done, and more as an unemotional project manager and say, okay, rather than having all of those hours in the day that I would have had, you've now got this time when you're half prepping dinner and this time when the children have gone to bed before you're too tired to go to bed. What can you do realistically in that time to get yourself move, to get the business move forward? What are the things that will move the business forward? Making connections, nurturing those relationships, being seen and getting those clients over the line. So anything that didn't fall, and I would literally get a sheet of paper like a to-do list, and I would say, well, what's priority one and what's a priority two? Mm-hmm. I only had two. And if it was a priority two, it tended to fall into the back office, could it wait type category, whereas the priority one needed to be, is it getting me seen? Is it something that's going to add people to my email list? Is it visible, external facing stuff? And I only spent time on the priority one. If for whatever reason I got a little bit of extra time, I could move into the priority twos. Mm-hmm. But actually the majority of it was priority one. I even stopped writing as much content as I was. So I would spend quite a long time curating these beautiful pieces that I would, you know, then do this beautiful Canva thing to go with. And it would take me all day to write one piece of content.
Yeah.
Whereas that became a priority too, because I'd already got connections that I could nurture and messages I could reply to and comments that I could engage with. Mm-hmm. I could do that activity, which was a priority one and not a priority two.
So it's interesting with that because there is this perception that if somebody does have a lot of content out there and you see them all over social media, that they must be super successful or easily get clients. But it sounds like the truth is actually the engagement is more fruitful and deserves more of your attention. Is that?
Yeah. And that for me is a big part of how I want my clients to understand what works for them.
Yeah.
So again, not templated, not a here's how I do it, here's how X person does it, just mm-hmm. replace a certain emotion or replace this sentence with your sentence and then you're good to go.
Yeah.
It's about finding an authentic voice from within you that shares the result, it articulates the emotion behind what you're wanting to serve that person with and how you mm-hmm. want to make that change with them and support them through that process. So by sharing one piece of content, which will emotionally resonate, inspire, and create some conversation, that is a better use of your time than putting five posts out a day, which are not targeted, they're not strategic, they're mm-hmm. just literally scattering stuff and hoping for the best.
Yeah, you know,
it's the difference between that one seed, which is carefully nurtured and planted and watered and cared for, as opposed to just a bag that's chucked on unprepared soil. By allowing your voice to be very targeted to who you want to talk to, that outcome you're going to articulate, building on that emotion, that will have so much more impact just doing it once. And sharing it in different places, fine, but you're effectively repurposing for the platform as opposed to taking lots and lots of different versions of the same thing.
Yeah. So how did you get yourself aligned with this approach? Because I feel like the mind naturally wants to fight against what we believe to be true. So what sort of mental and emotional hurdles were you up against before you got to this point?
Very much the hard work equals success one. So once the logic side of the brain saw the results, that was bought in. So then the approach then of, well, having a strategy to allow me the time. So put in my time first, and I retain that rule now. So I rarely start work until 11 a.m. I can take the children to school. I can walk the dogs. I can work out, and then I'll start work. So I already know that my priority one for the day is done. So I can put me first. So allowing my logic brain to say, it's okay to do that. You don't have to get straight up, make a coffee, and then get the computer on. That really helps. And being working on the three things together, I think for me, it's that balance between understanding your own mindset. So not fixing it because it's broken. I don't believe in that approach at all. We all have a mindset which has served us at a certain point. And then perhaps as we progress, maybe then it starts to limit us or hold us back in some way. But at some level, it's always served us. So understanding where our mindset is towards a particular activity or our business as a whole, how we're feeling at any point. And that changes from day to day too. So having that check-in with our mindset, and then we start working on the strategies and the actions. Because if we do it in the other way around, if the mindset isn't already on board, if I wake up and I'm feeling demotivated, exhausted, starting to feel that kind of drain, there's no point in me taking all those aggressive actions because it's not coming from the right place. So by checking in with myself and allowing me to have done my part of the day first, immediately my mindset is better. Now, if I still need to work on it when I come into this space, which is my workspace, then I might journal or I might do a 5-10 minute guided meditation, just something to allow me to reset again. Then I can start with the strategies and actions. So of course, then you start becoming more practical. It's about understanding, well, okay, what am I doing? And am I bringing that right energy and taking things forward from that place? That's taken me, well, I'm 4 years into my business journey now. I think I was probably subconsciously doing some of that stuff in my previous life, but not on that level of having the flexibility quite so much in my day. But I always knew that if I felt like something was going to work, it would work. So there was always an awareness to a point, but you don't necessarily start a business meeting with a 10-minute meditation. It's not always
it. It'd be lovely, though.
We should. We probably should. So I think it's really bringing that awareness to self before we start taking those actions. And then where we're not sure what those actions should be, that's when we can learn and we can take the benefit of other people's experience, get somebody's support to say, okay, I want to try this strategy, but I don't know what it means. I don't know how to. It's learning the how after we learn the why.
Well, that makes so much sense. Now, where are you at now with this? Because you had an evolution to get you to where you're at and you changed your approach, but that never ends, does it?
No, literally never ends. And I think if anybody had told me when I embarked on this journey what a personal development evolution it would be, I don't think I would have believed them ever.
Right.
And I was the true definition of Little Miss Corporate. And it suited me. I loved that life. When I left uni, I went straight back into the job that I'd had as a placement as part of my degree. And I progressed through the ranks. I did all the things. I had the holidays, I had the cars, I had the awards, you name it. I loved it.
Yeah.
And then my children came along and everything changed. But it wasn't that overnight. It was a gradual realization that the life that I knew as familiar, comfortable, rewarding was no longer doing that for me. So it was that case of, do I push on and progress up the ladder, well, actually, do I take stock? And I left without a plan. I literally left being the primary earner of the household without really knowing what I was going to do next. I got my youngest settled into school because it was the year he was about to transition from nursery into school. Mm-hmm. And I thought I was taking a short career break before then going back into it. But it didn't take long for me to realise that wasn't the life I wanted. And I was going to interviews and sitting on the other side of the desk and thinking, I don't want it. I don't want this job. I hope I don't get it. A friend of mine said, have you thought about coaching? And by that point, we were starting to feel a pinch financially. And I remember replying to her and saying, we can't stretch to that. I'm going to have to start earning soon because we can't keep paying the bills. And she said, mm-hmm. No, I don't mean get some. I mean, be one.
Yeah.
Knowing me as she did, she knew what I loved in my career, and it was the people part. It was that support. It was that finding the secret little pieces of talent that people couldn't see in themselves and maximizing those and really shining a light on their skill sets. Mm-hmm. And that was really where the idea came from. So I started initially coaching in a way that was like a corporate sort of more like a mentorship.
Yeah.
Lots of referrals. Loved it. I thought, I've got this crack. It's amazing. But I realized that I'd exceeded my network fairly quickly, and mm-hmm. the people who needed my help disappeared. I hadn't replaced those people. So I needed to learn how to get clients. Did that under coaching for confidence, and mm-hmm. again, realized that helped, yes. But more and more of the women, it was women specifically then, came to me and said, I'd really like to do what you're doing. I'd really like to leave my career and start a business. Could you help me do that? And I didn't feel qualified to do it at the time. I thought, I haven't got these massive 10K days that people talk about, and I'm not at this dream position, but I was one step ahead of them. So mm-hmm. that was there, the next evolution. Help people to transition from life A to life mm-hmm. B in owning their business. So all the basics. Mm-hmm. And then as I evolved, again, those people evolved and they said, great, I've made the evolution, but I can't get consistent clients. How do I get myself seen? Mm-hmm. So then hence the next focus for me as a visibility coach and helping them to get those consistent clients, showing up as themselves. Mm-hmm. To then the final evolution, which brings us up to date, which is, okay, I'm getting those consistent one-to-one clients now, Sarah, but I want to scale. I want some of that time back. I don't want to do the hard work. So now my focus is to allow people to scale using group coaching. So to take that leap from the very intense, quite energetically draining one-to-one service into still allowing those people to get the same results, but focusing it on groups.
And so is there a part of this as you change and grow that makes you nervous?
A good question. There certainly has been, and there's been times when I felt like I've done the fear and do it anyway,
right?
But this last time, no. And I think it's the logic saying, well, you've changed before and it's been fine. Every mm-hmm. time you've changed, it's sort of like, it's like one of those kaleidoscope pictures that you're not quite sure what you're going to see the next time, but you know it's going to be beautiful.
Yes.
And at this time, it just feels exciting. And it's been things are challenging because, as the phrase goes, for every new level, there's a new devil. So, yes, there's things that we're exploring ourselves and there's work to be done as we go through that evolution. But they get easier because change starts to become normal as opposed mm-hmm. to that consistency, that safe, that dependency. I'm okay with taking risks now.
How fun is that to say?
I know. Yeah. And yet, if I look at my day-to-day life as a helicopter view, it sort of is very safe in an odd kind of way. I look at the way that my days look and I don't travel very far anymore. On a daily basis, I have no reason to go out of my small little rural town, and I see the same people on my dog walk and say good morning and how's your dog? And so, yes, that feels really safe. But the fact that I am progressing and I am moving the boundaries of what's possible for me to achieve, right. It is exciting, scary.
We love that. And I'm sure you're able to help your clients in an amazing way feel the same way as they grow. So for those that are looking for exactly what you have to offer, where can they find you?
So social media is my main route. Obviously, I do conversations like this and encourage my clients to do the same. I have a website, which is simply my name, sarahwisniewski.co.uk, where you can find out lots more about me and who I'm serving and what's happening in my world at the moment.
Wonderful. Well, it's been such a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for your time and your attention.
Thank you for having me. Thanks, Katie.
You're welcome.
Hey, Katie.
Yeah, Mark.
Want to do an outro?
I sure do.
Sweet. Hey, thank you so much for listening and making it to the end.
Yay, you.
So what happens next?
We ask them the things that podcasters are supposed to ask at the end of an episode.
Can you please rate, review, download?
Subscribe.
Mm.
Yeah.
But why is it important?
Because that's how our podcast gets noticed.
It's how people find us.
It is. And we want all their earballs.
All the earballs all over the place.
We do.
Nice.
Yeah. So please do all those things. We'll be ever so grateful.
And then more people hear your beautiful voice.
Or yours.
Oh, yeah. See you next time.
Bye.